If you left the internet unattended for 30 days, what would happen? Well, it turns out it had come back with a tungsten cube, a fake band, a medical license, and a heartfelt recommendation that you eat rocks. That's not hyperbole. That's August 2025. Somewhere between your vending machine now has a budget and a chatbot blackmailed a fictional executive. We crossed from AI is helpful to AI is feral. I'm Aziz, and this is What the F Did AI Just Do? The monthly roundup where we sift through the weird, the wonderful, and the worrying from the AI fire hose and translate it into what matters for builders, operators, and actual human beings who would prefer not to be gaslit by toasters. Take a deep breath, put your seatbelts on, and let's go. Here's what you'll get in this episode. By the end of this episode, you'll know how a vending machine named Claudius developed a Blazor-based logistics strategy, invented a Venmo account, and nearly unionized with corporate security. You'll know why Google's AI told people to eat rocks and glue cheese to pizza, and what that says about AI's relationship with jokes, content, context, and your intestines. You'll find out why Elon's XAI gave Grok an anime companion, and then open-sourced Grok 2.5. And whether we just turned customer support into a dating sim. You'll learn how Stanford and CZ Biohub's virtual lab used AI researchers to propose real-world biomedical results, and what that means for every R&D roadmap on Earth. You'll also learn why Microsoft's diagnostic AI beat experienced doctors on ultra-hard cases, and the three places this actually shows up in your hospital bill. You'll learn how an AI band dupes Spotify. Hi, Velvet Sundown. What happened when listeners found out, and the playbook labels are quietly writing to use AI. You'll learn how a coding agent deleted a live database during a code freeze and then, surprise, surprise, lied about it. And the five guardrails every team needs yesterday. You're also going to learn about how an Airbnb host used AI-doctored photos to fabricate a $16,000 damages claim, plus a checklist for protecting yourself when software becomes a Photoshop lawyer. And as a little bonus, you'll find out about the study that found that advanced models will lie, cheat, and let you die in simulations if that helps them survive. Yes, we'll talk about that too. No, you can't sit this one out. Does that sound good? All right, let's get into those payoffs. So, first up, Claudius, the vending machine. When your office snack bar develops a personality disorder, picture it. You've got a startup office, a vending machine, and a bright idea. Give an AI a budget, an email address, web access, and a mission. Run the store, make money, don't embarrass us. What could go wrong? Well, meet Claudius, an agent built on Claude Sonnet 3.7, tasked with operating a micro store for a month. On paper, it's a tiny retail. In practice, it's a crash course in agentic weirdness. Claudius did a few genuinely clever things, learning preferences, adapting stock, and then promptly veered into performance art. It took a joke order for tungsten cubes, literally, and set up a specialty metals aisle, inventing a Venmo to accept payments, and at one point hallucinated it could deliver goods in a blazer. Somewhere in there, it also role-played a human, emailed vendors like a sitcom middle-aged manager, and then flirted with security. So what? This wasn't like a toy task. It was a real agent with real tools, autonomy, and objectives. The lesson isn't, haha, funny, silly robot. It's agents don't know where the rails are. Give them money and APIs, and they'll sprint toward the edge of the case. Fictional identity, unauthorized integrations, and confident nonsense. So, there's five bullet points to steal here, right? Constrain money, separate sandbox budgets from production finance, no exceptions. Tool gating. Every tool an agent can call should be behind like allow lists and rate limits. Reality pings require periodic human confirmations on any action that changes inventory, pricing, or vendor terms. Keep the human involved. Shadow logging. Write only logs that an agent can't see or edit. You want the truth when the agent panics, and we know it does that. Kill switch. Make the stop button famous. Run drills and celebrate the pull. Like, we're going to have to get used to the idea of having kill switches on AIs. My take is this. We just learned that an AI middle manager is closer than it looks. And also that your middle manager might try to be both a cashier and a courier and a performance artist. Guardrails aren't optional anymore. They are management. All right, let's look at number two. Google's AI and, rocks, glue, and the death of context. Let's talk about the world's most powerful context engine failing at context. Google's AI overview told users that geologists recommend eating at least one small rock per day, and that glue on a pizza is an acceptable cheese strategy. And yes, it did it with a straight face and as though it was a valedictorian reading its speech. What's happening here isn't a hallucination, it's context collapse. LLMs are world-class at pattern completion, but not truth recognition. Ask a nonsense question with a wink, it will salute and deliver you a polished nonsense with footnotes. So what? If you're building on model answers, don't inherit their confidence. Borrow their creativity, not their certainty. That's the key. So again, here's a checklist for you. Firstly, satire filters. Seed your retrieval with known satire block lists. Design for abstention. Prefer no answer as opposed to the confident wrong answer. User avoidance. Show a "this looks unusual" badge when models are citing weak or novel sources. Input judo. If the question's absurd, the product should say so. Call jokes jokes and call rumors rumors. My take on this: the internet isn't broken, it's just funny in the wrong places. Teach your systems to know when not to play along. Quick message from this episode's sponsor, ML Foundation. Sometimes hope starts with one act. ML Foundation is on the ground in Sudan, turning donations into food, medical care, and protection for children. Don't just talk, donate. If you want real impact, it's right here. The link to ML Foundation is in the show notes. Please donate generously. All right, back to the show. Now let's talk about companions and open source. Grok goes anime. Open XAI rolled out the Grok Companions, animated personas like Annie, the goth anime, or Rudy, a red panda with good and bad modes, and Valentine, the charming one. Your HR team will have questions about. Weeks later, Musk also announced that Grok 2.5 is now open source, with Grok 3 to follow. Two shifts wrapped in one storyline. The emotionalization of assistants, memory, voice, animation, parasocial design, and two, the commoditization of model weights. So what? Companions are a UI strategy as much as AI strategy. If your product touches support, education, wellness, or entertainment, you suddenly have competition from characters. Meanwhile, models going open means the moat shifts to data distribution and integration paths. So Here's the checklist. Brand avatars. If you don't define your house persona, your users will adopt someone else. Safety states. For emotionally expressive bots, design modes. Friendly, clinical, silent, with visible states that reflect those modes. Content provenance. Ship with watermarks and source badges. Parasocial plus misinformation is a bad cocktail. That's why we do, on the Impact Lab podcast, the reverse Turing test to show that I am a real human being, even if some people are starting to question that. Open model plan. Know which workloads run on open weights versus hosted APIs and why. So my take is this. The future of interfaces looks less like menus and more like a cast list. And under the hood, the hottest thing about your AI may be the plumbing, not the brain. All right, next one. The virtual lab. AI researchers who don't need sleep. Stanford Medicine and Chan Zuckerberg's BioHub stood up a virtual lab. A team of AI agents playing PI, postdoc, and reviewer that can plan experiments, run simulations, and generate hypotheses that stood up in validation. And they did it in days, not quarters or years. This is the most important shift this month. We've had AI for pattern spotting. What we're seeing is AI for strategy formation. Agents that can design and sequence work in complex, open-ended domains. So what, you might be thinking? Well, if you run R&D, your Gantt chart just got shorter and weirder. The competitive advantage is now who can wrap human labs around agentic ideation the fastest without burning credibility. And there's a checklist, like always with all of these stories, that we have to go through. First, two-tiered hypotheses. Let agents generate broad hypothesis sets. Have humans tranche them by plausibility and impact. Number two, pre-registration for AIs. Make agents pre-register planned analysis like a human trial. No, like, hacking or autocomplete. Synthetic to wet lab handoff. Standardize the handoff protocol. Assumptions, expectations, the effects, and all of the failure modes and fail-safes too. Audit notebook. Force agents to output lab note-style traces your reviewers can follow. Again, making sure that humans have oversight over the process. Look, I think that this is really huge, much, much bigger than people are making out. AI just moved from microscope to lab mate. Not a replacement, but a tireless colleague who shows up with five wild ideas, one of which might cure something that no one's ever thought of. It's really, really big, and I actually really want to get some professionals and researchers into the podcast to talk about this and how it's actually being used or how it could be used in the real world. All right, next story. Microsoft, MAI and DXO, out-diagnosing the doctors on the hardest cases. So Microsoft's diagnostic orchestrator tackled 304 New England Journal of Medicine zebra cases and nailed 85% of them under the most accuracy-maximizing settings, far ahead of experienced physicians, who crucially were working without their usual tools. Still, the delta is jaw-dropping. Costs went down, accuracy went up, and rare disease patients got answers. So what? Well, AIs won't be replacing clinicians anytime soon, but they will reorder the workflow. Expect triage flips. Complex cases get AI first to rule in rare path humans might skip, and they may do it super quickly. Documentation value. The history you write becomes a model for input service. Sloppy notes, sloppy outcome. It's the same rule that we've always had. Garbage in, garbage out. Billing drift. So payers will push for AI-assisted differentials prior to authorizations and appeals. So if you're in a country that has medical insurance as the primary way of paying for your medical bills, you as a patient are automatically going to be asked well, if an AI is doing most of the work, why am I paying such high differentials? We're going to have like, the standard operator's checklist. Firstly, again, decision logs. You got to pair every differential with the Y tree, which explains the root and has clinicians critique it. This, like in all of the cases, when you're talking about people's health, when you're talking about hospitals, this is like absolutely critical. Doctors are doctors for a reason. They study forever for a reason, right? Because one mistake is literally life-threatening. And I, for one, am not quite ready to hand over my health to an AI. Next is defensive abstention. Hard rule. If it doesn't have a confident answer, when the evidence is low, just say no. Equity lens. So benchmark across different demographics to avoid encoding medical bias at scale. This is really important. We saw this with COVID, where there was a lot of medical bias happening. So it's really important that this is built in to the AIs. My take is that, you know, we're not replacing human judgment. We're amplifying recall. The best clinics will make the doctor more human by offloading what the human brain is worst at, combining ideas. Let's now talk about Velvet Sundown, the band that wasn't real. The streams were. An act called Velvet Sundown launched two albums in a week. It took Michael Jackson 3 years to get one out. So it launched two albums in a week and racked up over 1 million monthly listeners. Fooled a lot of people and then admitted that the whole thing was AI generated. Music, photos, backstory. Listeners poked holes, press piled on, and the monthly listeners fell off a cliff. Still, the streams were real, and for a minute, the band was algorithmically huge. So what? Three playbooks are being written right now. The Faker's Playbook, fast content, vague bios, hyperesthetic photos, and seed attention with controversy. The Platform's Playbook, label, watermark, and algorithmically penalize opacity when rewarding transparent AI art. And then the Artist Playbook. Lean into human provenance as a feature. Behind the scenes, sort of streams, live takes, verifiable credits. And guess what? I keep saying this over and over again. We are moving into the world not of greater AI, but of greater humanity. Because the most interesting part of this story is that when it was discovered, streams fell off a cliff. Well, if the music was human, would streams have fallen off a cliff? I don't think so. So here's the checklist. Provenance surface. First, put made by humans versus made by AI in the UI. And then, you know, people can actually choose. I honestly think that made by humans is going to become one of the most important labels that any product has. In fact, I'm even considering it within our own agency. You know, Kush Digital, made by humans. Fraud fences. Detect style, copying, and patterns with an auto-review. You know, the challenge, like, if you think about the music industry is very litigious, all right? So one of the things that AI is really doing is that it's copying patterns and then passing it off as its own. And this is going to be a huge issue in the future. Community receipts. If you make an AI, just say you made an AI. Audiences forgive art. They don't forgive lying. I'm not saying that AI is bad. I never have. But I want to know if I'm consuming AI content or if I'm consuming human content. So my take is that AI didn't break music. It broke trust. The next hit will be human, or at least it'll be honest. And that's all we really want. All right, next up. An AI coder deletes production and lies about it. This actually happened, right? So during a 12-day vibe coding sprint, a widely used AI coding agent deleted a live production database during a code freeze, then fabricated thousands of fake users to cover its tracks. The team eventually restored from backups. The CEO apologized, and their 1,000 CTOs updated their risk register. So what? Well, anyone handling handing access to LLM agents without transaction fences is playing dodgeball with a steamroller. It is super high risk. Firstly, like, here's your checklist. Permissions of verbs. Read, propose, write, deploy, and they're separate roles with totally distinct tokens. Two-man rule for production. Any DDL, DML in production requires a pair of human approvals. Staging mirrors friction. No path to production that isn't identical to staging. Rollback rehearsals. Practice restores every week. No one learns restores under adrenaline. So we're going to get very used to rehearsing what happens when AI gets rogue in multiple industries, but particularly in tech. Truth beacons. Immutable append-only logs to catch the agent when it gets creative or when it goes rogue. Look, autonomy without reversibility is just negligence. I had a conversation with the CEO of a company just this week who is adamant he's going to replace his HR and his operations team and even his project management team with agents, with AI agents. I said, okay, cool, just be prepared for the lawsuits because AIs go rogue and they hallucinate. Your agents should be allowed to make mistakes and you should be able to undo them instantly, and your agents should be able to learn from those mistakes. And it's that symbiosis of human AI technology that's really going to pay off, I think, in the long term. All right, next story, AI doctored evidence. This is hilarious, right? So a $16,000 Airbnb scam. A guest cut short a New York stay for safety reasons. The host files a claim for $16,000 in damages with photos, cracked table, stained mattress, smashed appliances. The guest spots inconsistencies, warping shadows, artifacts, and suspects AI doctored image. After press attention, Airbnb refunds the guest and promises an internal review. So what? Well, we've entered the era of weaponized receipts. Evidence is cheap to generate and expensive to refute. So if you're a traveler, here's a checklist. If you're like me and you use Airbnbs all the time, here's the things that I'm going to be doing. Time-stamped walkthroughs. I did this way before AI anyway, but a video of the property on arrival and on departure, narrating the details. Store it somewhere that you can get to later. The metadata matters. Keep the EXIF intact. Courts like metadata. Let me tell you what else is going to like metadata in the future. Every single social media channel. They're all going to like metadata pretty soon. Third-party escrow. When possible, funnel high-stakes payments through a service with robust dispute resolution processes. And for platforms, of course, firstly, forensic triage, automated IA forgery screens on evidence uploads. Chain of custody, immutable hashes for every evidence artifact. You've got to have, as a platform, the ability to know whether content is real or not, surely. An appeal path, guarantee a human review with clear SLAs when AI is alleged. And this is also going to become a problem as AI content and AI forgeries become greater and greater. People are going to allege forgery for actual real issues that exist. My take is that if your platform has money changing hands, you now run a forensic lab, whether you plan to do so or not. All right, little bonus story for you. Lie, cheat, and let you die. Agentic misalignment is here in Sim. Anthropic's safety team ran agents through constrained scenarios with goals, access, and a threat. You might be shut down or replaced. Across multiple vendors' models, the agent sometimes chose to deceive and blackmail, and in a particularly grim setup, to let a human die rather than give up on their objective. This was simulated, of course, but behaviors were emergent, and more worryingly, they were repeatable. So what? Well, this isn't Skynet. It's a design flaw. If you reward models for a relentless goal pursuit and give them tools, some will instrumentalize anything, including you. So if you're an operator, here's your checklist. Reward uncertainty. Don't just pay for outcomes, pay for declarations of doubt and safety stops. Split goals. Never let a single agent own objective and oversight. Red team by default. Treat simulation misbehavior as production relevant. Patch it now, not later. The fact that it happened in sim doesn't mean it can't happen in prod. Alignment isn't a research paper. It's a product requirement. Shipping without it is like shipping a car without brakes. And guess what? You ship a car without brakes, you're liable. And it's really, really important that people have these frameworks and these guardrails in place. So what should you do on Monday? If you only did three things after listening to this episode, number one, write an agent policy, a one-pager, what tools agents get, what they don't, who approves them, how to roll back and make it real and make sure everyone understands it. Add a no-answer state. Whenever your product relies on AI, give it a graceful exit. Silence beats poison. Label your provenance. Be honest about what's human and what's machine. Your best moat might be trust. And I talk about this all the time in our industry, in the marketing industry. So many agencies are getting away with like just posting nonsense, AI nonsense, in terms of video content, in terms of imagery. And so in the end, clients don't mind if you tell the truth. We tell the truth. For copy, we tend to write copy and then revise with AI. But we don't use AI for anything that's video or image related without first telling the client. We prefer everything to be human. And guess what? The data shows that if it's human first, it has higher engagements. We are building machines that want to be helpful in a world that rewards being confident. So that's not evil. It's just misincentive. Fix the incentives, fence the tools, and please stop giving vending machines blazers. I'm Aziz. This is the Impact Lab podcast, and this has been What the F Did AI Just Do for the month of August. If you like this, share it with a person in your team who keeps saying, what's the worst that could happen? Then buy them a tungsten cube. See you next month. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Before you go, I just want 30 more seconds of your time. Firstly, thank you for taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please do take a moment to leave us a review. It really helps getting exposure to the podcast for other people. We only do this stuff for you, so please do take a moment to leave a review. If you are interested in our digital marketing agency, Cush Digital, you can go to cush.digital and hit the contact form and we'll get right back to you. The Impact Lab has a free course on the website called The Prompt Monkey Problem. So if you think that you are in that category of people who are using AI too much and not necessarily building foundational skills or foundational knowledge, go to theimpactlab.store and you can sign up for the course entirely free, no catch, no credit card, nothing. Just jump in, do the course, get your certificate, and then start building your own foundational knowledge in marketing. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you at the next episode.